Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got to hear.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on Friday. And we're feeling good. Gorgeous day, gorgeous weekend ahead of us. But even better, I feel good because Dr. Ben McMillan is in the house with Neo Clinic Chiropractic Comprehensive Healthcare.
Let's go, Meg. Thanks again for having me on this morning. Always a pleasure to be up here in the studio. And she's right, it is beautiful out. Like she said, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan. I'm a chiropractor and the owner of the Neil Clinic. We're located over on Creighton Road. I'm here this morning to talk about how chiropractic care can help you move better, feel better, and live better. And I help patients every day do just that. I've got a few topics that I want to get into this morning, but like always, if you guys are listening and you've got a question that you want me to answer on the air this morning, send Meg and I a text message, and I'll answer your question live on the air this morning. Where do they text those into?
850-437-1620. 850-437-1620.
All right. So let's jump into it. If you're listening this morning and you've ever had that situation where your low back hurts, then it starts traveling into your hip or down the leg, maybe it's numbness, tingling, maybe that burning sensation, you know how disruptive that can be. How it changes how you work, how you sleep, how you sit in the car, you're kind of squirming around to get comfortable, and how you exercise. It can even change your mood sometimes. You know, you go from the happy person to just, you're not sleeping well, you're tired, you're just constantly in pain, and how that disrupts your whole life. That's what we're going to get into this morning. Let me paint a picture for you. You're not trying to be the athlete of the year. You're not trying to set any world records, right? You're just trying to be a normal human. You're trying to get through the workday. You want to sit in the car without having to pay for it later. You want to pick up your kid or your grandkid. You want to put your shoes on without bracing yourself like you're about to have to lift a refrigerator.
Were you there this morning?
Yeah. And sometimes out of nowhere, that simple movement, that bending, twisting, even the sneezing like we talked about a few weeks ago, getting up from the chair, it just lights you up. The pain might start in the back, but then it starts acting like it's got a mind of its own. It's going down your leg, it's in your foot, and you don't know what's going on. And the reason I want to talk about this, I'm thinking of a patient that I started treating about 2 weeks ago. She's such a sweet lady, and she came in hunched over in pain. And as I brought her in from the lobby and I directed her towards that exam room, she got this look of despair on her face. Because our exam room's towards the back of our clinic, and just walking down the hallway, she knew she was going to be in immense pain. So we got back there, and she started talking with me about how she'd recently started to have this severe lower back pain, kind of in her hip, and then this burning sensation that was in her calf and her foot. And she was really concerned because her and her son were going on this trip to Hawaii for Christmas, and she was terrified that she was just going to be miserable on the trip. And, you know, what should be such an amazing way to spend the holidays with her family was she was just fretting about, you know, how am I going to get through this? I can't walk from my car to the back of your clinic. I can't, you know, I'm not living my life like I normally do. And you know what? She was right. If she hadn't come in when she did, she would have been miserable. You know, the flight alone would have been extremely uncomfortable. And a lot of her symptoms were worse with walking, and they had all these plans to explore the island, and, you know, which in her state would have been unbearable. She wouldn't have been able to do any of that stuff. So after talking with her and kind of understanding what she was going through, I began to show her on our model spine where exactly her injury was, what was causing that pain in her leg. She had a disc herniation that was pressing on a nerve root. Then we discussed how we were going to help her fix the problem. First, what we needed to do was reduce that inflammation around that irritated nerve root by using our class 4 laser therapy and some gentle instrument-assisted adjusting through the activator method to take some physical pressure off that nerve. Then I told her, look, we've got to stop poking the bear. And by that, what I mean is we needed to go through some activity modification. I needed to teach her how to sit, how to sleep, how to bend properly, how to get up and down out of a chair, all without causing more irritation to her injury. And a lot of these things, you know, we don't really think about on a daily basis. We just lay down in bed and try and get as comfortable as we can and go to sleep. No one's ever really coached you what the proper way to sleep is. You know, that you don't ever think about, oh, how do I get up out of this chair, right? We just stand up. But if you're having that pain, getting up and down out of a chair sometimes is excruciating. You know, you're pushing on the armrest, you're trying to get up without really causing those flare-ups. And I just saw her yesterday. And when our chiropractic assistant brought her back to the adjusting room, she was jumping around. She was dancing. She was smiling.
Oh, wow.
She was so happy. She wasn't in severe pain. She could feel a little bit of the sensation in her calf, but it didn't burn anymore. It wasn't constant. You know, she would have long stretches of the day where she didn't even notice it at all anymore. Her back was feeling so much better. And she's leaving next week for the trip, and she was telling us all about, you know, what she's looking forward to doing when she's in Hawaii. And I'll tell you what, that just made my day. The smile on her face, knowing that she was going to be able to enjoy this trip with her family for Christmas to Hawaii. I mean, what a cool time to get to go and do something like that is exactly why I love being a chiropractor. I mean, it just makes, it's incredible. What a feeling.
And that was the best Christmas gift ever.
Yeah, I mean, didn't have to have surgery. She was, again, terrified of having to sit on that. It's a long trip from here to Hawaii.
Yes.
And then, you know, you want to get there. You don't just want to sit in the hotel all day. It's, you know, you want to get out and see the island. And now she's going to be able to do that. And I'm so excited for her to come back and tell us all about it. But let's talk a little bit about what exactly that is. When I was going through what we were going to discuss on today's show, Megs was like, you know, what exactly is a herniation? When I hear that word, I have a little idea, but what exactly is
it?
Yeah. Your spine has these bones, your vertebrae, and between those bones are discs. And that disc acts like a shock absorber. And it helps distribute the load in your spine. It allows for movement, and it kind of protects the joint. But when that disc gets irritated or injured, a few things can happen. That disc can bulge or protrude. It can become inflamed and irritated. And it can irritate a lot of that tissue in the surrounding area, some of the muscles. And a lot of times what it does is it presses on those nerve roots. We've got our spine and our spinal cord that runs down through the middle of our spine. But exiting out of either side are these nerve roots. And that's what allows our brain to talk to the rest of our body. And those nerve roots have two components. They've got a sensory component and a motor component. And that sensory component is oftentimes, a lot of times, what's affected, and that's what's causing a lot of those different sensations that we talk about. It can feel like a pulled muscle. It can feel like it's a burning pain or a stabbing pain. Sometimes it feels numb, like if you had a really thick pair of pants on and you were to rub your leg, you wouldn't feel it as much. Other times it can feel tingling, like if, you know, you sat on your hand for too long, that kind of tingling sensation. And, you know, to really diagnose this stuff, there's a lot we can do with a physical exam, but I have a lot of patients that come in that have already had an MRI. And what those MRI show is that disc herniation. But that finding on the MRI is not automatically a disaster. You know, many people have these disc changes with no pain at all. But the pain usually becomes a problem when that disc is irritated and the nervous system becomes affected. When that nerve gets angry, that's when you start to feel some of those symptoms into your leg. Yeah.
And we have a question from one of our listeners. And if you have a question, we're talking with Dr. Ben McMillan. He is with the Neal Clinic Chiropractic Comprehensive Healthcare. And the question, Dr. Neal, or I always want to call you Dr.
Yeah,
Neal,
I get that a
Dr.
lot.
Ben. It says, my daughter takes violin lessons and has very bad pain between her shoulder blades and spine on the side that holds her instrument. The top of her shoulder is also numb. We've been to a doctor and physical therapy with no improvement. Any ideas on exercises or other things? Have you treated violinists in similar situations?
Yes,
great
actually.
Question.
So I don't know how many of you guys know about playing the violin, but unlike the guitar, that you have the strap that'll hold the instrument, with the violin, they kind of have to pinch it between their shoulders and their neck.
Mm-hmm. I could see that maybe could be very painful after a while.
Yeah, and it's these repetitive postures. You know, you don't just pick up the violin for 10 minutes a day and get good at it. It's a lot of practice, a lot of time spent in that position. Depending on, you know, what she's tried, what exactly I imagine those positions irritate her, we need to start to strengthen some of those muscles. The physical therapy stuff, we'll look at what did they do? What did you get relief with? Did any of it help? Was any of it hurting? And then again, same thing. We're trying to reduce the inflammation and irritation after she's played the violin. Like, what can we do after that violin practice or after those concerts to kind of calm those areas down? And physical therapy is a really good thing for her to do just going forward, because that's going to allow her to stretch some of the muscles, you know, those muscles on the side. She's holding that violin, you know, with her neck and shoulder. We need to stretch those out and then strengthen them so she's able to build up endurance to, you know, incorporate more practice time without having those big flare-ups. Absolutely. Yeah, I've treated a few violin players, and that's a really common one. So
maybe this is from John. So thanks, John, for sending that in. So maybe John should give you a call?
Yeah, absolutely. Have her come in, and we'll kind of discuss what she's tried in the past, you know, where she's feeling these symptoms. Again, some of that numbness can just be from holding it in a prolonged position, or it may be, again, exactly like we're talking about, that disc in the neck that's causing some of this pain. But a lot of people get that MRI, and they say, oh, no, I've got this disc herniation. And that's where that fear kicks in, because, you know, when pain's going down the leg, people think, oh no, this has got to be severe. It's probably surgical. Not always, but it is a sign that we need to take it seriously, evaluate it properly, because many of these disc-related cases respond very well to conservative care. And the real villain of this is often that combination of the mechanical stress plus the inflammation plus that repetitive aggravation, like this young girl playing the violin. Sometimes it's sitting too long, bending or twisting repeatedly, or maybe you've looked up, you know, stretches for back pain and you're just trying to stretch it out aggressively, but that can keep poking that bear. That can kind of make things a little bit worse. The timing of the exercises, the specific exercises for you to do, are really important in this stuff. Now, if you're trying to, you know, self-diagnose, we all do that. We've got Dr. Google in our pockets now. Everybody will go online and say, I got this pain. What exactly is it? Let me give you like a simple framework for these things. With these disc-related back pain, you commonly see these patterns, right? Pain, your pain's going to be worse if you have to sit or drive or maybe bending forward. That pain's going to travel down into your glutes, your thigh, the calf or foot. It's oftentimes that numbness or tingling. Sometimes it can feel like the back. A lot of patients come in and they say, oh, my back catches or locks up. And sometimes even the coughing, sneezing or straining is going to put increased pressure in your trunk. That's what's going to cause a lot of these symptoms in these disc herniation patients. Now, I want to add something important here. There are symptoms that are not wait and see. We call these the red flags, and we screen all the patients for these things because these are a significant issue. You know, if you're having a loss of bowel or bladder control, if you're getting a lot of numbness in the, they call it the saddle region, like where you would sit on a saddle on a horse, if that whole area is numb, if you're getting progressive weakness, maybe fever with severe back pain or like major trauma, you know, did you fall off a roof and all this stuff happened? That's when I'd want you to go to the emergency room immediately. Don't wait and see if this gets better. If you're having any of those, do something now about those. Those are big red flags. But for many people, it's just that everyday pattern, the pain, the stiffness, those symptoms in the leg. Maybe they come and go, but they're especially tied to those prolonged positions or specific movements. And here's what I want people to hear today. Those disc injuries do not, you don't have to panic. You just need a plan. At the Neo Clinic, the approach isn't just, you know, crack your back and hope. Our plan is, step one, we need to identify the pattern. That's why I spend that time with you in that consultation room. We go through your history. I'm going to do an exam, and we're looking to see, is this more a disc or a nerve issue? Is this something that's a joint issue? Or are we just having a joint alignment thing? Is this a muscular issue? You know, there's a lot of reasons that you can have back pain. It's not always a disc. And that's, again, that's part of that exam. What aggravates it? Are you having any of those red flags? Are there any of these neurological changes that we need to track? The second step is that we need to calm down that irritation. Most of these disc problems are going to behave better when we reduce those positions and activities that keep inflaming it. Then we restore that motion without really overloading the area. You know, this is often done by that targeted chiropractic care. You know, we use the gentle approach at the Neal Clinic a lot of times with that activator method of adjusting. And then the guidance on the do's and don'ts for the next, you know, 2 weeks or so, you know, because that's what people want to know. What should I do? What should I stay away from? And that's going to be a little different for everybody, depending on what's irritating them. Some people don't have any problem. Like the lady I was talking about going to Hawaii, she was okay sitting, but walking was really, really uncomfortable for her. And this is where people get it wrong. They either do nothing and stiffen up, or they do too much and they flare it up. The goal is measured movement. You know, again, the specific exercises, the timing of the exercises, how many should I do? There is a big difference between walking around the house once or twice and signing up for a marathon. I mean, yes. Some movement is good. Too much is not good. There's going to be a threshold, and that's an important step as well. The third phase of that is to build capacity so it doesn't just keep coming back. Once those symptoms calm down, then we focus on stability, mobility, and resilience. So you can tolerate that sitting, lifting, you know, you can go through daily life without living in fear of that next flare up. If you only chase that pain relief and never really build up that capacity, you can get stuck in that cycle of a little bit better, a little bit better, then boom. Same thing happens over again. Now, let me give you a few tips that are going to help these disc type patterns. And again, it's general information. You know, some of these things are going to help some of these patients, but this is what we see a lot of. Avoid that marathon sitting. You know, a lot of us come into work, we just get there at 8, we sit all the way until it's lunchtime. Maybe we hop up once or twice for the bathroom or water, but if sitting is that trigger, break it up. Even standing for a minute or two can change the load on that disc and those nerves. You know, set a timer on your phone. Every 10 minutes, get up for 30 seconds. Get up for a minute and just walk around. It's going to reset those postural muscles. You'll be able to sit down and give your back a little bit of a break. Walking is often better than resting. You know, I use the example of 20, 30 years ago when people would get in those car accidents, you'd see them walking around with that big cervical collar, right?
Oh, I remember that.
Do you see a lot of people in those anymore?
No, that's funny that you say that. Yeah,
And do you think it's because they stopped getting in car accidents? No. No. I mean, I see more of those driving around every day than I ever have. But they found out that gentle motion is so much better than just completely locking those joints up and not allowing motion. That's why they don't, unless you have a fracture, you're not getting one of those collars. Even though your neck may be in extreme pain, if it's not broken, some movement is going to be so much better than restricting all of that. You know, many people think, oh, I've got this back pain, I'm just going to lay in bed all day till this goes away. But that bed rest often tends to make stiffness worse. You're going to be more sensitive. The third one is don't aggressively stretch and cause that pain down your leg. If the stretch increases those symptoms down your leg, that's your nervous system saying, hey, not yet. The right timing and the right movements matter. Use positions that reduce the symptoms. I mean, this is one of those ones that sounds pretty simple, right? If it's making it worse, don't do it. But you'd be very surprised how much of my day is, it really hurts when I flick my arm like that, or, you know, when I kick my leg out like this. Well, let's stop doing that is step one. You know,
Don't do that.
We laugh, but a lot of my job is making sure we don't do those things. You know, some people need a little bit of support when they're laying down. You know, if laying in bed is causing pain, there's some things we can do. You know, prop those knees up, put a pillow or two up under your knees to allow your hips to roll, to kind of flatten your back on your bed. That's going to give it more support. Or if you're a side sleeper like me, I need you to put a pillow between your knees so you're not rotating your legs on the bed all night, pulling on your lower back and those nerves. The goal is to reduce irritation and let this stuff settle down. And then again, pay attention to the trend. What I want to see is I want that pain to centralize, especially in the low back. If it's going down your leg, anything we can do to get it closer to the back and less symptoms down the leg, that's a good thing. It's becoming more localized to the back, and that means we're moving in the right direction. You know, sometimes I forget to have that conversation with the patients, or they've forgotten, and they come in and say, Dr. Ben, my leg's feeling great, but my back is killing me. I get excited. I'm like, oh, that's great. And they say, no, what do you mean that's great? Right? My back is, and I say, no, that means it's healing. That nerve is calming down.
That's good news.
Now, the cost of ignoring this too long, you know, people start avoiding movement. They get deconditioned. They're sleeping poorly. They're changing how they walk or how they sit. You know, you're trying to do anything you can to alleviate some of those symptoms. But then the hips start to hurt. Then the mid back starts to hurt because now you're leaning to one side. And this turns into a much bigger project than it needs to be. It's kind of like driving around with that check engine light on. You know, your car will probably run, you know, it might for another month or 2 months. And then you've got a few things that go wrong. When you go to the mechanic, they say, how did this start? And you say, well, a few months ago, I saw that
beeping light.
Yeah. Go get that stuff checked out. You know, don't wait too long. You know, the win in this is easy. The success stories, when someone comes in and say, hey, I'm able to sit again at work. I can drive my car to the clinic and I don't hurt. I'm able to sleep again. Sleeping is a big one. If we can get you sleeping without pain, that's a great time for your body to heal. Mood improves. You're going to heal a whole lot faster if we can get you sleeping without that pain. Can you bend again? And can you move without that fear? Our bodies have that, anticipation of pain because your brain remembers, hey, last time we did this, mm-hmm. this really hurt. And you'll have that apprehension to bend. And I get them in the clinic and, you know, they're starting to feel a little bit better. And I say, show me, can you bend forward? And they're so surprised when they can bend and say, oh, this doesn't hurt anymore. And then they'll say, you know, I'm not planning my whole day around my back pain. You know, if you're dealing with this back pain traveling down your leg, that numbness or tingling, or even if you're one of those patients that have those recurrent flare-ups, maybe you are not experiencing it today, but you have, and you know it's something that's just kept coming back. Here's my recommendation. Get it evaluated. And not because you should be scared, but because clarity is going to change everything. When you know what pattern you're dealing with, you can stop guessing and start following a plan. And if you're not sure if your situation sounds like it's disc-related, is this a joint, is this a muscle, call our office, schedule that consultation. Even a brief conversation can kind of help you decide that next step. And we'll discuss your symptoms, and if I think chiropractic care at the Neal Clinic can help you overcome your injury. I want to get to a couple misconceptions about some of these disc injuries before I go. I know I'm running short on time.
You're good. You got a couple minutes left.
All right. So again, a lot of these patients come in and they say, you know, I don't know if there's anything you can do to help me. I've got this sciatica. It's probably going to need surgery, right? Not necessarily. Again, many of these cases respond really, really well to conservative care and, again, a structured plan. You know, you want to try and do everything you can before you have to go have one of those back surgeries. Now, there are, again, those red flag cases. That's not a Dr. Ben condition. I'm going to refer you out to the emergency room. And, you know, occasionally we have to do that. We do see scenarios where, yeah, these patients are surgical cases. They're kind of beyond the scope of chiropractic care. But again, that's why we spend some time going through history, going through that evaluation, the physical exam. We're going to do some orthopedic testing. Maybe we order some imaging. And that just really paints the whole picture of what we can do to help you. The other one I talked about, rest it until it goes away. Again, don't do that. Don't just lay in bed all day thinking that, hey, if I just rest, this stuff's just going to disappear. The hope and wait method, not a great idea. Again, a lot of times restricting that movement is not the right approach. They don't do that with those cervical braces anymore. They want you moving this stuff. Those people that have surgeries, the knee operations, the hip operations, they don't say, hey, just wait in bed and don't move at all until the pain goes. No, you're up moving the next day. You start physical therapy immediately because motion in those joints is what allows them to heal. The last one, the MRI finding equals the cause. And the reality of this is imaging is just one piece of the puzzle. The function of your back, the symptoms also matter. You know, I had one patient that the radiologist wrote on their report that she had a massive disc herniation. And he was right. It's the first and it's the only time I've ever seen a radiologist describe this herniation as massive. But after 3 weeks, she was symptom free. So just because we see something on the MRI doesn't mean you have to have surgery. Thanks again for having me on this morning, Meg. Again, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, owner of the Neal Clinic. Our number is 850-479-2700. You can find us online at neilclinic.com. Thanks again, Meg.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ben. Always learn so much when you're here. Thank you so much for your wisdom and for taking such good care of us.
Absolutely.